It's a great joy to be here. I think the last time I was here was about 25 years ago or more. And my wife doesn't think she's ever been here, so it's quite a treat to come back and visit at this place at Belmont. Thank you for the special number earlier. The first time we heard that song sung was at the International Radio Bible Class International Directors Conference. And there were about 150 of us, probably around that number, many from overseas, from different countries. The country directors were there. And to join together in singing In Christ Alone was an experience that we will never forget. So thank you. It brought back good memories. I believe that I'm the third on the list from the Philippines scheduled to speak this morning. Len Brooks was supposed to speak, and he's gone to a wedding, and Phil heard that I was coming, and he said, well, I'll pass on my schedule to him, to Dave, so I'm here. If I don't show up tonight, we've got another representative from the Philippines. Ken Hardesty is in the area, and I'll get him to do it if I don't show up for some reason. I might have to take a walk to the beach, too. Where's our beach walker down there? Actually, we've done that three nights in a row, so we've made good use of the time. Back in February of this year, I was asked to take a series of studies at our special studies week of Bible school. We have a 9-week course, and then in the middle of the 9 weeks, we have 1 week, which we call special studies. And the topic that was assigned to me was the tabernacle. And during my studies of the tabernacle, I came across some information that I hadn't really seen before, probably heard, but never seen. And I was challenged. And this is in relation to the Ark of the Covenant. There are four different titles that are given in Scripture, at least four, probably more, but four that I can find, that were given to the Ark of the Covenant. And each title would display to us a special characteristic of God. The most common, perhaps, is the title of the Ark of the Covenant, which really shows to us the faithfulness of God. His promise and His power are revealed in this title. The Ark of the Testimony, which tells us of the presence of God and the glory that is revealed to mankind. Third title is the Holy Ark. And this would bring to mind the holiness of God, His purity, and His purpose. And the fourth title that is given is found in 2 Chronicles, and it is the Ark of Thy Might. And this would bring to mind the power of God. So in these different aspects and different titles given, we see different characteristics of God. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant was there as a reminder to the children of Israel so that they would not forget their God. And as we study the different names given, then we see a picture of God in the different titles that were used. This morning I would like us to look at the title, The Ark of the Covenant. And this we can find in Joshua chapter 3. Actually, there are a number of titles that are given in Joshua chapter 3 concerning the Ark of the Covenant. And each title would bring to mind different aspects of our God. The Jewish people, the Israelites, were just like us, very forgetful. And they needed constant reminders of who their God was and what He was going to do and His promises to them. And we see time and time again that the title, the Ark of the Covenant, is mentioned sometimes on its own, sometimes joined to other explanations. The Ark of the Covenant in chapters 3 and 4, just that title, the Ark of the Covenant, which has to do with God's promise, is mentioned at least 7 times, depending on the translation that you use, perhaps. And this would bring to mind the promise of God that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And as we look into this chapter and see some of the things that God did for Israel, then we can see the fulfillment of this title that was given. Once we find that it is referred to as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord in chapter 3 and verse 17, which would indicate his presence to us, you know, his presence in Israel. And the Lord has said to them there that you will know that the Lord your God is among you. And I think sometimes in our Christian life and our walk, we forget that God is amongst us. We forget that when we come together to remember him, when we come together as a fellowship, that the Lord is in our midst, and we get so tied up with things of this world and the things that would be of great concern to us, perhaps, and we forget the greatest promise that God is with us. The most important thing, his presence in our midst. 3 times we read of the title, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. And Israel had to be reminded time and time again that it was not just the Lord, the God that was somewhere up there in the air, somewhere, somebody distant, but there was a personal relationship, the Lord your God. And this would remind us of God's provision. He knew their situation, as we read the story here in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Joshua, that they'd come to the River Jordan and they wanted to cross this river. And in man's eyes, it was impossible. They couldn't build enough boats. Didn't have the lumber, the timber there to build the boats, probably. An impossible task. And yet God knew their very need. And he provided a way so that they could cross over on dry land. He knew their situation and he cared for his people. He provided for them. Then we find that it is referred to as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. And this is recorded twice in this chapter. And this would show us God's greatness, his power. His Son, Jesus Christ, was appointed heir of all things. So we see the covenant of the Lord. The covenant, according to the dictionaries I looked at, has a definition, something along this line. It has to do with a cutting, a choosing creation, a compact made by passing between 2 pieces of flesh. So the idea probably is that a cut was made and 2 pieces of flesh were joined together as a way of promise, a contract to manifest or be known. And this is what God has done with his people Israel. He has made a covenant with them. This morning we were reading in the New Testament about the blood of Christ that was shed, and that this was the new covenant. A compact had been made, a decision had been made that God was committing himself to us. And in that instant, we find that blood was shed. And that because of the shedding of blood, a relationship was established between holy God and sinful man. Then once in chapter 4, we read here that it is called the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony is a study all of its own. But we could so call this a reminder of God's purpose, that he could not lie. And the ark was given. And there were certain things put in the ark that reminded the people of Israel of God's faithfulness to them. Let's read from chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shechem and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went throughout the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, note the personal relationship, with a Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of 2,000 cubits, about 1,000 yards. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. And as they went forth, they stepped into the River Jordan, which was in flood at this particular time. Very wide, very impossible to cross as far as human minds go and human ways go. They stepped into the waters and God created a huge dam, an invisible dam. The waters backed up behind them and the river actually drained. And the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. This reference here to the Ark of the Covenant reminds us, or is a symbol of, two characteristics of our God. The first being a symbol of God's promises, his faithfulness. In verse 7, we read here, now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. A promise was made to Joshua. He had taken over command, as it were. He was becoming the leader, the children of Israel. And this was his first major test, perhaps, in the journey into the promised land. And God promised him, he said, I'm going to exalt you. And if we jump over to chapter 4 and verse 14, we will find that this was fulfilled. On that day, chapter 4, verse 14, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. One of the things that we must remember, and it's good for us to remember this, because I think sometimes it would be easy for us to give up and to turn back. Phil was mentioning that they had been there in the Philippines for 20 years. Well, we have doubled it plus a little bit. So you can come back and we'll give you another 20 years back in the Philippines, no problem. You'd be an old man then, wouldn't you? But there are times in our service that I have to admit I was discouraged. There were times I would like to have packed my bags and gone back to New Zealand and said, forget it. If it was not for this one promise that I have held on to for the time that we've been in the Philippines, the Lord's promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is faithful to his promise. He's not only promised that he would be with us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, or in other translations, he would never desert us, which is, I think, has a little deeper meaning than just leaving. He would never desert us. There are the promises that he's going to prepare a place for us, and when that place is prepared, he's going to come back and to take us to be with himself forevermore. Fantastic promises. And if we don't study the Word of God, if we don't read this, and we don't see what God has promised, it is very easy for us to become discouraged when we face the trials of this world, whether it's economic, whether it's social, whatever the need might be. There are fantastic needs all around us. But God has promised, and God not only promised to Joshua that he would exalt him, that they would know that he was, that God was with Joshua, but we find here towards the end of this particular incident in the lives of the children of Israel that God was faithful to his word. God was also faithful to Israel. He had promised a land flowing with milk and honey, but to get into that land, they had to cross the Jordan. And here they are, they're camped at the Jordan, flooding time, which we are quite familiar with back in the Philippines. Probably you have them here just as bad or worse. The way looked hopeless. There was nowhere else to go. But God said that he was going to take them into this land. And he had to provide a way. And he provided a way. A way that was beyond imagination of those that were about to enter into the land. They should have remembered, because God provided a similar way as the children of Israel escaped from Egypt. Joshua here invites the people to come to listen to the word of God. Come here and hear the words of the Lord, your God. He wasn't speaking on his own authority. He wasn't making promises that he could not fulfill. The emphasis here is that they had to come and hear the word of the Lord, their God. Now, many churches today, the scriptures are basically closed. People are discouraged from even bringing Bibles. How can we hear the word of God if the scriptures not are open and not studied? The invitation was to come. And then there was the assurance. There was the assurance that God was going to do wondrous things amongst them. Things beyond their belief. They were to know that the living God was in their presence. And they come to the River Jordan, the priests step in, and they provided, God provided a way for them to cross the river. There was also here a promise that God would dispose of all of their enemies. He'd get rid of them. Unfortunately, because of the disobedience, some of the leaders, this really was not fulfilled 100%. But God promised that if they did their part, he would do his part. That he would dispose of the enemies of Israel. And there's about six or seven different tribes or peoples that God said that he was going to dispose of them so that he could fulfill his promise, the promise that was given to Moses years before, that he would give to them a special land. In this incident, we find that the children of Israel had to have faith and trust in God. His instructions had to be obeyed. We were thrilled to arrive back here in the States on July the 2nd. My wife's helping me out here. And on the 3rd, we were able to witness the baptism of two of our grandchildren. And that was a special occasion, and I was talking to our eldest grandchild, Alexis, and I was asking her why she wanted to be baptized. I'd had a little session with her through Skype while we were in the Philippines, and we had another session face-to-face. And she said, I want to be obedient to God. And this is what is required for us today. The children of Israel were given clear instruction. First of all, they couldn't come closer than 100 yards or 100 meters, to 1,000 meters to the ark. The priests were to go ahead, and they were to follow, and the priests were to stop in the middle of the River Jordan, And they were to wait there until the whole nation had passed by. God's promise to him, God's instruction here was, do not come near it, so that you might know the way by which you shall go, for you have not gone this way before. And as we look at life in general, there are things that are going to take place in our lives that we have no idea. When I first left New Zealand to go to the Philippines, I went to do church planting. Still a big part of my ministry. Not that I am actually doing the church planting, but I'm training others to do it. But God has led us into different areas, ways that we never ever dreamt of. And this was the same to the promise here. Places we had never gone before. Now, one of the exciting things for us is we're working with Emmaus in the Philippines and throughout East Asia. And in the last 3 months, the correspondence school, the Emmaus courses, have been translated into Vietnamese. 4 courses have translated, and we have a Korean brother who is leading that effort, and he's gone into Vietnam. He's living in Vietnam, translating courses, and the Word of God is starting to go out through the courses. We would never have thought that we would have had a little bit to do with that side of the ministry. But God in His grace has allowed us to become involved in getting Emmaus courses into some of those so-called closed countries that are not open to the Word of God. They had to have faith. The priests, when they came to the river, it's in flood. Here they are, they're carrying this ark. Did they want to go ahead? Probably not. But they went ahead, despite the fears that they perhaps had at that time. By faith, they stepped into the river. By faith, the nation followed. Try to make a picture in your mind of this event. Huge wall of water. The water's backed up miles beyond. Nothing holding it. No dam, no Hoover Dam there. And yet here these waters are held up. And they've got to walk through this river. Any moment could have happened. But God was beyond the realm of what the children of Israel could understand or comprehend. They had to trust God that He would not let the river wash them away. So there was faith and trust involved. There was also obedience and belief in God. In verse 5, Joshua said to them, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Consecrate yourself. Set yourselves apart. Cleanse yourself. Be ready for God to work in your lives. Reminds us today that we need to likewise consecrate ourselves to Him. It's only as we give our lives to Him and we are cleansed from the sins that are all around us and in us, we consecrate ourselves and then God can work in and through us. God is going to do wonderful things, wonders among you, things you never even thought about. And I believe that this is true even to today. That if we consecrate ourselves, if we give ourselves to Him, He's going to do wonderful things in and through our lives. They had to obey. They couldn't have probably crossed the river. It doesn't tell us in the script here that if they didn't consecrate themselves that they would not be able to cross the river. But I would presume, since God gave them the directions to consecrate themselves, that He expected them to obey. so that he could carry out his promise. They had to believe. They had to believe in their God that that wall of water that was built up there so that they could pass through on dry land was not going to fall down. That God, in his power and in his strength, in his awesome power, would not let that wall of water wash them away. We need to believe. Believe in God. The jailer in Acts chapter 16 asked what he must do. And the reply was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. To believe, to obey, to have faith and trust in God. And when we do this, God is faithful to his promise. In chapter 4, we find here a symbol or a presentation of the power of God. We've mentioned this already, that the ark of the Lord your God went before them. Verse 5 says, and Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each one of you shall take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. The Ark of the Covenant, carried by the Levitical priests, was carried to the middle of the river. And the priest stood there, and the nation followed by. Once they had all passed by, the priests and with the Ark of the Covenant came up out of the river, and the waters returned to their original place. Here we find a memorial that was to be built. Actually, there are two, as far as I can see. One on dry land. Well, both were on dry land at the beginning, but one was in the middle of the river and the other on the land so that the children of Israel could see these stones. Stones were to be taken up from the river as a memorial. Why? Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, again, reminding us not only of God's promises, but of his presence. Because this is where God said, I will meet with you, when the original directions were given to the building of this ark as a memorial to them. The stones were to serve as a sign amongst the people. The Lord, in his grace, gave a number of signs, a number of symbols to remind his people of his promises, of his power, of his purity, of his purpose in life, and so on. For the children of Israel, there was the Passover feast, a memorial to their redemption. The instructions given in Exodus chapter 12 was sacrifice to the Lord who passed over. And they made the sacrificial offering, and God passed over. And year by year, even when we come to the New Testament, and we read again this morning in the life of Christ that he met with his apostles, and as they were meeting together to remember the Passover, that's when he introduced the Lord's Supper to them, a memorial for us today. Here we have a crossing of the Red Sea, a memorial to salvation. So there's redemption, there's salvation. In Exodus chapter 14, we are reminded, Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And there was a memorial set up there. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Coming to our day and age, we have a reminder also. The bread and the wine. Reminders, simple reminders. In the old days, sacrifices, stones, and other things that were used as reminders. In our day and age, it's just bread and wine. And yet, this is a memorial of what Christ has done for us. It's also a time of celebration of God's faithfulness. And he has told us to do this until he comes again. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup is a new covenant of my blood, the Lord says. Drink it in remembrance of me. So you've got the doing and the drinking. Remember, it's only the bread and the wine. It's not the other alcoholic drinks that people would try to offer to us today. So the stones were set up as a memorial for the children of Israel, for their children's children, as a reminder that God went before them and provided a way for them. And then there were the stones that Joshua set up at the feet of the priests as they stood in the middle of the River Jordan. Stones that are there to this day, according to the scriptures. I'm not sure exactly where they are. I was thinking there this morning, maybe it'd be good if we dammed up the River Jordan to see where these stones were. Maybe it would wake up the Israeli people, and be a reminder to them of God's faithfulness down through the generations. These stones were set up as a memorial again to God's power. And the people passed through, a reminder that God is an awesome God, the great God. I'd like to read verses 23 through to the end of the chapter. Take time to read the rest of the story, because we just don't have time to cover it this morning. Let's go back to verse 21. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you have crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. When our grandkids followed the Lord in the waters of baptism, they were obedient to them and to the Lord at that time. And then during the week, they wanted to know more, and they wanted to know about the Lord's Supper, and it was neat to come home one day and see our son-in-law sitting there with his kids, with his Bible open, and explaining to them the meaning of the Lord's Supper. A memorial, a reminder to your kids, is what the scriptures say here, to your children, if we want to be more formal. Why have a memorial? Why have these stones? First of all, we find that they might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Sometimes we tend to put our Lord, our God, in a little box. You know, he can do so much. And we sort of cut him off from the rest of the things in our lives and the rest of the events in the world. And we lose hope. We lose confidence in what God can do. It's that we are the ones that are at fault, not God. God cannot be put in a box, but we tend to try and put God in a box. And, you know, we We trust God for our salvation, but we can't trust him for our daily living or for our daily bread. When we think of some of the lives of the people that we're working with and the hardships they go through and the joy that they have in spite of the hardships, it humbles us. They do this because they trust completely in God. That you might know the hand of the Lord is mighty. Mighty beyond our salvation. Mighty beyond all the problems that we face in the world. What's the kid's song? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. Well, you could sing it for me, but then if I sang it, everybody would go home. It's just about time to go home, so we won't sing it. Second reason that the memorial stones were given, that you might fear or reverence the Lord your God forever. And I think this is perhaps one aspect in our Christian lives today that has been thrown out. Reverence, fear of God, coming into his presence. It was not just an automatic, everyday occurrence. Moses, when he came into the presence of God, had to take the shoes from off his feet and got down on his face and he came into the presence of God. The high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, had to offer a sacrifice for himself and for the nation. And then he went in fear and trembling. And today we come into the presence of God. Yes, we have access. We have the privilege of coming into his presence. But I think in generally speaking, the reverence that we should show to him for who he is sadly lacking in many churches today. And probably much more so in the Philippines than it is here. Which is sad to see. That all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. As we go from here, as we face the week that is ahead of us, let's not forget God's promises to us. Let's take them, hold on to them, go forth with confidence and with strength that can come only from the Lord himself. We go forth and face the problems of this week, knowing that our God is a mighty God, and that he is with us, and that he will enable us to do those things that we need to do for him, and even beyond that, to do wonders amongst us over and beyond what we can think. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders amongst you. May the Lord bless to us his word. May we be encouraged. May we be blessed as we face the week that lies ahead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning and we thank you that you are our God. That you are far greater than anything that we can imagine or comprehend. And yet, in spite of your greatness, your majesty, your concern for our lives, just as you were for Israel. Lord, we thank you that we have these symbols that were given to Israel that remind us of who you are and what you have done. We thank you that we also have been given reminders of who you are. We thank you for the bread and the wine that you left for your disciples and for us also to be reminders to us of what you have done on our behalf. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you are faithful to your promises, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will enable us to do the job that you have committed to us. Lord, help us to remember your faithfulness and for us to be faithful to you as we seek to serve and follow you. This we ask in your worthy and precious name. Amen.